Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Reverend Hosner, and you are on the Journey 8. So let me get my stuff squared away because we're running late, because I want to run late every now and then. Okay, so welcome to the Journey 8, and stay with us for the next hour. And we're going to talk it out. That's our new theme. Let's talk it out. So I don't think we had time to play our opening song, so I'm not going to tell you about it. But what I am going to talk to you about is something new. And that is, we have made some program changes since we last met. The changes that we made will still fit into the overall spirit of the Journey 8. After 2 years of speaking to you basically in solitude, except with a special guest now and then, I found some brave souls, to share this platform with me. I think they're brave anyway. And I'm not going anywhere. You can't get rid of me that easily. But I wanted you to listen to my new co-host, which is Wasif Qureshi. And I know I always spell his last name wrong, but he'll correct me in a minute.
Qureshi.
See?
It's a hard one. It's a hard one even for people from my own country. So, you're 95.6% there.
And for a person like me who can't hardly even speak English most of the time, it's double hard. And then we should have our special host, Jen and Jenna. Have you brought them in, Mr. Engineer? I'm not sure. But anyway, when they are on, we'll say hello to them. Their message is moving and life-changing. Between Wasif and Jen and Jenna, I think your life will change. You'll always have the opportunity to hear me do an individual program from time to time, just so you can remember how boring my homilies were. I don't want to, like, you know, jump out of, you know, out of my normal. So with Wasif, we're going to turn our focus or adjust our focus to fit into the radical and religious tolerance, and religious tolerance that I set out at the beginning of the year to dedicate this program to. And we've had a lot of support already where people are saying, this is a great idea, because my passion is to help or to be able to put some effort forward to the most vulnerable in our society, which, of course, is the children and the refugees, downtrodden and the forgotten. I always call the forgotten the invisible souls, because they, to our government and powers that be, they're pretty invisible, but they're not invisible to God. And that's my mantra. So we're going to change things. I know we will if we stay on this course. So follow us in the coming weeks and months. I think you will be pleasantly surprised with what you will learn. And you're going to learn to talk to one another, I hope. And I think that's Wasif's hope, that we can look at each other and talk to one another and not be afraid. And one of the ways we talk to each other, I'm going to bring this piece of music in, Mr. Engineer, is through music. I have so many people tell me, I could preach all night, which I've never done, but I could. But it's the music we play that really gets to them. And part of that is because I spend the time to find musicians and artists that have a wonderful message and beautiful voice, but they're just not there yet. And that's okay. So I found this young lady this past week. Her name is Lauren Moscato, and she has a wonderful song called He Gives Me Strength. And I don't know, Mr. Engineer, if we're ready. We can play into that. He gives me strength.
I think it's going to be one of those weeks. I don't know if it depends tonight.
You're going to extrapolate it out to the whole week, huh?
because see, I think the universe right now is conspiring so we can actually have this conversation right out now, that we're all committing in it to be for the long haul, God willing, and through lifting each other up through not only song but humor, I think we can bring a few smiles to people's faces out there.
I'm going to ask, I should say, Wasif, if he can tell me why his week's been so crazy.
Well, we've had in Greensboro, there actually have been a few things going on in terms of, you know, in the same light of communication, transparency, and building solidarity within our community over there. For those of you who are in the know, we are in Greensboro about 300 and some thousand now. And when I'm saying 300 and some thousand, I'm referencing the population over there. And there's a wide mix of churches, temples, and mosques, even, you would be surprised, that call Greensboro their home now. And some portions of the congregations of some of these mosques and churches and temples are actually made up by people who are new immigrants or refugees. Specifically, the largest mosque in Greensboro, which is the Islamic Center of Greensboro, along with Temple Emmanuel and the NCCJ Foundation, had a interfaith tour this weekend. And this interfaith tour has been going on for many years now. And basically, the synopsis of the tour is that you, as a participant, you know, on a Sunday, can visit a Jewish temple, a Christian church, and a mosque within a span of about 5 hours, and get to learn what it is that drives the people, the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims in the Greensboro area, and what are their challenges, and what are the things that they're looking forward to. So that actually happened this Sunday. I must say it was a very successful event, because the you know, it's always nice to see the people who are part of the congregation on a daily basis, you know, the elder folks and the people that you have met. You know, it's always nice to see friendly faces. But for me, it's very, very amazing when I see children at these events. And,
yes.
You know, children, to me, just my two cents, and that's you know, those two cents are probably in a foreign currency. But so my two dinars would be that, you know, I find that sometimes children actually ask the most amazing questions. Mm-hmm. They will ask the most amazing questions. And one of the questions that we received from a youth at the mosque this Sunday after our presentation was, you know, are there any similarities in Islam to the Second Coming? Mm-hmm. And another one that was also asked at the mosque. There were many, but the flavor of the question, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. We're very inquisitive, and the answers and the conversations that were had because of these questions were great and amazing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people discount children and teenagers and say, well, you know, they'll be more informed when they're older, you know. And some of the best questions that, as a preacher, I've received has been from the 10 to 15-year age. And they're not just flippant questions. I mean, these questions they ask are really important stuff. And they want to know. They're not just setting me up, you know. So right. I think sometimes we don't pay enough attention to what's going on in their head.
Right, and it seems sometimes that it's a battle between what screen you choose versus, you know, actually putting it down and paying attention to the child. I myself have two children, and they're young, you know, 5 and 3. And so I'll tell you just a little tidbit of a story. My child one time comes to me when my daughter was 3 years of age, 3.5 years of age. You can imagine the turmoil a 3.5-year-old has when one of her toy breaks.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's trying to come and show me this toy, and she's saying, hey, Daddy, look, this toy is broken. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, can we fix it? And I'm like, yes. And she says, hey, Daddy, look. And I said, yeah. And she keeps saying that until she finally says, Daddy. And I'm like, why are you shouting? And she says to me, because you're really not looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I'm staring at my computer screen doing my work, and my 3.5-year-old is right that I am not looking. And I believe that can be frustrating for a child to try to get. I'm guessing that prior to TVs, and this is just a guess, I haven't done my research on it, but maybe one of our viewers can email us and write us if they know anything about it. I'm guessing prior to TVs and radios and entertainment, I think maybe, I'm guessing a lot of our entertainment came from our children.
Yes.
You know, live entertainment, live plays, live drama, and of course, live messes. And so that they make. But I'm guessing, you know, since now our attention is so off into the ozonosphere of our new technology, children, you know, are fighting for that attention. And so they got, it was very nice to see that through this event, this interfaith tour, which is, like I said, headed by the NCCJ Foundation, which is the National Community for Justice,
mm-hmm.
Along with the Jewish Federation, they host this event every year in Greensboro, where anybody, it may be from Greensboro or Burlington or Gibsonville or anywhere near in the area, if they want to come and take a tour, bring the children, bring the family, and join this tour. Like I said, you can come and visit a temple, a church, and a mosque, and find out that they are, you know, just four walls, and the people that reside within them have the same hopes and dreams and issues like anybody else.
And
I think the transparency that we are trying to build.
I think for teenagers, there were a lot of them, to see and feel and actually touch items in altary worship houses is really important, because that experience will go a very long time with them. And so, yeah, that was good. That was my first event since joining the NCCJC, I think it is. and I know more will come. whatever, where the computer takes over.
I think well, it won't happen on our watch, Judy. I promise you. Because I'm gonna hack into the Skynet and take down Terminator before he comes in. And
yeah, takes over let me show. Tell you. And I will stand there and say a blessing.
You know, if our engineer is on, if he has put us on autopilot, and hopefully we are on and not just talking to each other. But I like talking to you, even if we are just talking to each other. I think this is a good conversation.
Somebody call actually, him and tell me whether they can hear us or not. That's a good way to get somebody to call in.
Right. But whenever we get a chance, I actually, as part of the package of this show that we are continually expanding and refining so we can get, some of the stories and the everyday events and things that are happening in the community out to the general public and our our viewer base. There's actually a story I wanted to share, which I think would be something of interest to our listeners out there. So whenever you're ready with that, you let me know and I can go ahead and I can chime in.
Okay, I'm the engineer, so I say go for it. I don't have anything else to do.
Okay.
Remember, I set this up so that you and Jen would do all the work.
Well, I am ready. I'm ready to I'm ready whenever you are.
Well, I have yet to get on a one-to-one with the engineer, so I'm going to say we should just move forward, and okay. Hopefully there's a way that we can tell Jen to call in, or because I don't know how to get her to Skype in once Skype is opened. So let's hear your end of it, and then we'll lead back into Jen and Jenna at some point.
I'll bore the people completely, and by that time, you guys will bring in something really exciting.
Oh, all right, let's try. Like, okay. Shall we?
Well, I wanted to share with everybody is actually and again, the children. Like I said, children ask some of the best questions. But where did we come from? How did it all start? You know, and my child likes to do something with me. They'll just keep saying, why? And I swear, to each why, I try to give the most articulate answer that I possibly can. And I haven't used my trump card, which is, it just is, don't ask me anymore.
Yes.
I haven't gotten there yet. We get to some resolution, but children ask the best questions. And one of the questions that I have been asked by youth before is that how did this all start?
Right.
And I want to share this one little tidbit of a story with the listeners out there, because I think that the listeners who are Christians and the listeners who are from the faith of Judaism, and of course the listeners that are from the faith of Islam, will all find some kind of points in this story that are relatable either directly to them or by way of their experience through their own religions or their own lens. So in Islam, we are told that the very first human being, the very first model that was created, kind of like the first iPhone that was created, was actually Adam. And Adam was created from a clay-like material. And nowadays, actually, in the echelons of cosmology, you ask Neil deGrasse Tyson or his teacher, who was Carl Sagan, In the book Cosmos, they both mentioned that we are all made out of stardust. We are all made out of stardust. And so you take some of that dust and you mix in a little bit of water and you have this clay-like material through which the human creation came into existence. And when God, the Father in heaven, created Adam, the situation was that on Earth, there was a lot of war and bloodshed already. And so the question comes immediately, well, if Adam is the first creation, then who's causing the war and the bloodshed?
I was just going to ask you that.
That's a logical question. And so in Islam, there is a concept similar to Christianity of fallen angels, but what we believe that actually prior to mankind, there was a creation of a entity or a creation called the jinn. And the kids really enjoy this part because it brings up, stories that are part of the paranormal and not completely understood and therefore not totally boring to the children, because you figure something out and then it becomes boring over time. Keep repeating it, and then, man, people are really falling asleep. And so the jinn existed prior to human beings, and they were causing bloodshed here on Earth. And God at some point decided that, hey, I am going to replace this creation with another creation that's actually going to take care of the Earth, and that was of Adam. And when God created Adam, he did something very specific and very wise to actually illustrate a point that I think only God in his wisdom and his all-knowing capacity already knew the answer to. He actually asked all of the angels that were present at the time to bow down to Adam. And that's not to say that worship Adam, no, but show that you actually, as a creation of God, the angels on command of God will actually follow God, even if God tells you to bow down to Adam, again, not to worship him, but to show subservience to what God had mandated at the time. Hmm. Now imagine this scene. There's a creation of Adam, he's been created, and now the angels are asked to bow down to him. And we believe in Islam, and actually in Christianity, the fleshing out of how many angels there are and the names of them is actually much more varied than what we find in Islam. And so what we are told is that that there's a place in heaven where these angels visit. And every day from the beginning of time till the end of time, about 70,000 angels will visit this place called the Baitul Ma'mur. It's just the house of God that the angels come to visit and worship. Here's the key point. Every day, 70,000 of these angels visit. And 70,000 is a number that was thrown out in medieval times and in older times just to say an infinite amount of numbers, because back in that time, people didn't see or understand trillions or billions. So people, when they wanted to say an infinite amount of something, they would say 70,000, 70,000 soldiers or 70,000 angels. So the stories say that 70,000 angels visit this house that's not on this planet, but somewhere else. And they will keep on visiting till the end of time. But here's the key thing. No angel ever actually gets to come back. Every day, it's 70,000 new angels. And so imagine this scene. Adam's created. I can't say all of them because some have not been created yet, but all of them that were created at that time that were in front of Adam were asked to bow down. And imagine the scene. All of them bowed down except for one.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one. And that one angel was actually Satan. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the name that he was called was Iblis. And when God saw this, and this is what I was actually pointing out to, that I'm guessing, God already knew the condition of Satan and his arrogance that had developed, and he had to bring it out somehow. So in one order, bow down to my creation. He stood out like a sore thumb. And now God asked him, why did you not bow down to Adam? And now the drama starts. You can feel the, you know, the music kind of building up, mm-hmm. and the tension building up. Why did you not bow down to Adam? Why did you not follow my order? And Satan's answer was very simple but very telling. He said, I did not bow down to him because you created him out of clay. And you created me out of fire. And fire is, you know, in essence, what he's trying to say is fire is stronger than clay. So why should I bow down to fire? But, you know, the words are, you can put the words aside, but you can understand the arrogance behind it. His intention behind it. That his in the Christian tradition, in the Jewish traditions and in the Islamic traditions, you know, we all have a concept of God. And we all practice and lead our lives towards some kind of modesty and try to better ourselves for not just ourselves but also for our future, which are the children. But there's one character in all of our three traditions that is exactly the same, actually without no difference in the character and mm-hmm. his intention towards human beings, and that's Satan. Mm-hmm. And his intention from the beginning of creation of mankind has been the same, is to lead mankind astray, to lead mankind astray. And to finally end this story, I, you know, when God found out that, hey, you are here, Satan are now arrogant, it is now incumbent upon you to actually not be in heaven, but go down on earth and live the rest of your lifespan down there. Satan actually asked God for one final wish, if you will. He said, well, if you're going to put me down there, then what I ask you to do is that just give me respite till the end of time, till judgment day, and I will lead all of these humans astray. And basically, again, just to prove the point that what you created is flawed, I am actually better, and I am going to lead them astray. And this is the actual punchline that I wanted to give out today and end the story on a positive note, because in it is the essence of God's ever-lasting, ever-existing love for his creation and for mankind. He simply said to Satan that there will be some that will follow you. But for as those of my servants that follow my guidance, they shall never fear, and they will not fall in despair.
Oh, yep.
And I think that is a lesson for all of us. In spite of all of the technical difficulties that we might have in our lives, the missed connections, the daily issues, weekly issues, you know, turn on the news and sometimes you can add a horror movie soundtrack to it and it would make just as much sense, you know. But if you actually remember and remind ourselves as believers that, you know, in spite of what we might say is happening and what we might forecast to be to happen in the future and what we might historically note down that has happened in the past, God is aware of all of these things as well. And matter of fact, the only one in control at the end is God.
That's right.
And if that is the case, you know, I as a believer, like, that just rests my heart that, okay, if the music didn't play today, maybe it was for a reason. Mm-hmm. If my tire went out today or whatever challenges there might be, and some are much more serious than others, and for those that are suffering, you know, with serious challenges in their life, I pray that God brings ease to them quickly and swiftly. But for whatever challenges there are, I think to be reminded that God knows of your challenge, and he is aware, and he is noting down your reaction to your challenges. I think, you know, through that exercise and through that gymnastic, we can all find a little bit of peace away from fear and a little bit of happiness away from despair.
Yes, thank you. I don't know how we're going to connect with Jen, but Jen, if you have the program on and you're listening, I guess we're going to turn the table and have you call in as if you were a listener and try and make the connection that way, because I have gotten no response from my engineer, and I'm not panicking. And I'm... and see, he's actually writing me back now that I've stood up and said I'm not panicking. So we're going to see if he found he's laughing at me. Oh, you did good. You ran half of the program by yourself. I'm going to see first of all if he has this new song, because I really, 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 really want us to hear it. So, Mr. Engineer, did you get He Gives Me Strength loaded up? See, I'm going to put him on the spot. I will ask in front of all 12 people that are listening. Oh, I see a little bubble happening. And he says, hold your breath.
I'm holding it.
He says, which song? He Gives Me Strength by Lauren Moscato. Brand new song.
I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, I come across these songs. Like I said, I kind of go through the internet from time to time and just go into indie music and search under Christian music, and I just so happened to land on this person's sheet, and the title, He Gives Me Strength, really caught my eye, shall we say. And when I played it, I just said, oh yeah, this is a good one. This is a keeper. And so I'm in the process of trying to arrange. You can't find it. Okay, we may not get it today. We might have to wait till the next show.
Well, I am I'm slightly saddened, but again, I look forward to the day that we do find it.
Yeah.
That day I will try not to YouTube it and listen to it ahead of time. So
I know you're going to, and everybody that's listening is going to. And she has some phenomenal videos for some of her other stuff. So I'm going to have him call Jen and get her online. And let's see. I know you guys can hear me clunking away on my... on my keyboard, because I have not gotten a second boom for my mic. So I got my mic connected to this little thing that's sitting on my desk, which means it picks up every itty bitty little noise. Okay, Jen, so he's gonna call you, Jen, so be ready. And then we'll have the second half of the show with Jen and Jenna. I think it's cool when people share kind of the same name, you know, Fred and Federica, you know, or whatever. I'm too square for that. I was born a nerd. When I came out of my mother's womb, I had a pocket protector in my in my swaddling clothes. And a protractor in my hand. And those who know me well will say it is so true.
One announcement that I just wanted to make quickly before Jen jumped on is that one of the, as discussed, Judy, I think one of the portions of the show that we are going to segment off is going to be for people that are in our community that I think mm-hmm. would be interesting guests that can come on the show, and one of the guests that I have lined up for us for our next show, hopefully, fingers crossed, is the imam and his lovely wife of the brand new mosque in Burlington. It's actually the first mosque in the Burlington area.
Ooh.
And that is going to serve as a mosque. And so I've spoken to them, and they have agreed, and I think we'll be able to keep our agreement to come on when we have our next show.
Yes, that'd be great. I have 100,000 questions for them.
Amazing.
Of which I'll cut it down to 550. No, but they are phenomenal people. I know she'll probably do more talking than he. What a lovely couple that really walk what I call walks the talk. You know, they are shining examples of what Islam should be to everybody. And big hearts, you know. So I've only connected with them since, you know, the church, you know, turned over to a mosque. And I've been just totally blown away by a lot of people in that process. And so, Mr. Engineer, did you find her? I'm having so much fun. You know, I've been doing this for over 2 years, about 2.5 years. And so I've learned to not panic. The first time something like this happened, I froze in fear because I was a scaredy cat to begin with. You know, it took a little while. You just hear some of my earlier.
I think what we could do, we could set this show as a benchmark of how much we can improve from this show until our final show. If we improve 100 points, I think we deserve a trip to Krispy Kreme.
Oh, yeah, just hit a very soft spot in my heart. I love them. I like gooey donuts, you know?
Maybe we'll take, you know, one of the, I recently too have been introduced to Krispy Kreme again by my children. And man, I did not know sugar came in so many colors and shapes and varieties and forms, but I am surprised by the sheer number of ways you can get diabetes there.
Just by walking in the door and smelling the smells, your sugar count goes up by at least 100.
It is.
You know, one of the things that happens when this sort of thing happens is I remind myself of what one of my seminary professors used to say, and that is, you can do a lot of planning, which I wrote and rewrote and double wrote the agenda for today, of which has gone right out the window. And my teacher used to say, God puts these blocks in front of you. Think of them as the little wooden blocks with the alphabets on them that the kids use. And the higher you build the wall, the more, you know, likely it is to tumble. And so you can build a really pretty wall, but if God wants you to, you know, be on a different plane, that wall falls through. So obviously, with what is happening on this show, I believe we're supposed to take things and show God that we can mold them ourselves. Now,
a very wise man once said to me, man proposes, God disposes.
Yeah, indeed.
And so, I think we are, this is called freestyle DJing at this point, because yes, you did, I saw all of the notes. You know, I think this was the most prepared for show in the past three shows that we have done together now. And we are freestyling. And so all I'm missing are my really groovy glasses at this point, but it's night, so I don't know what would happen.
And my paisley shirt, you know, and my sandals. Yes, I was a child of the 60s and 70s, and some of that never left me, you know. So I don't know if Jen is on the line out there or not. Hello, Jen. I'm hearing nothing. Okay, so,
well, I can't. I think there are there's one more novelty item that I can present if you are wanting to hear it. I was thinking maybe there's, you know, as the Bible itself, of course, wasn't originally written in English. These are the translations that we are reading. And for a lot of people that are from the United States, what they get to see of the Quran is actually an English translation. But I have memorized a significant portion of the Quran in actually Arabic. And one thing that is very interesting about the Quran is actually it's all in rhyme. So it's poetry. It's almost, it is a song. And I could go out on a limb and recite the, which are called the seven oft-repeated verses in the Quran. They're very small, and then give an English translation, and then I think you would understand why they're very often recited. And it's said that they're not only often recited by the members of the planet Earth, but they're actually often recited by all creations that are even outside of Earth. And as science moves towards finding, you know, life on other planet, I, you know, it would be, that's the one question, that's the first question that I would like to go ask is, hey, do you guys know about these seven verses? And,
see,
I want to know
if they know what pizza is.
Right. And do you have Krispy Kreme would be my second question.
Oh, God.
Are we still waiting on Jen?
I think we are, and I think we're running out of time for her to call. Jen, I apologize if you're listening, but I have no way to jump across, and call you. I don't know what's happening on the technical end of the show, but obviously we're having some problems with communication between me and the engineer. So I don't know.
Our engineer is in Hollywood, right?
Yes. A lot of people wonder how I get to broadcast from my, what used to be my garage, and it's my studio now. And I can sit here in my jammies and do a whole show and, have it go around the world. Well, really, I send my information to the real studio, which is in the Hollywood area, and from there they broadcast it throughout the world, and then we put it into a podcast. So you can get me either way, you can find me and trap me either way, but there's delays. Like I'll speak and 2 seconds later, people hear it. And that's just the lovely world of cyberspace, and the things that happen. But more often than not, people can hear me in real time as if I'm sitting there talking to them. And that's why I picked BBS, because they have the ability to do that better than any of the other stations that I researched. So,
well,
we are
if you give me 2 minutes, I actually want to do this. I think it'll be a nice ending, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
It's your show, right in the beginning
of the Quran, and I leave it to the listeners to decide for themselves that if what I'm about to say, if it makes sense to them from their conscience and their logical perspective, if this would be something that would be repeated actually throughout the universe, that's the created universe, that is. Starts off by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, which means I seek refuge in God from the accursed shaitan and evil. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, which means I begin in the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. الحمد لله رب العالمين, all praise belongs to God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Well, no, I all praise belongs to God, the Lord of the world. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Malik Yawm Ad-Din, owner of the Day of Judgment. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, and to God we ask alone for guidance. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, show us the right way, the correct path. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those on whom you bestowed your favor, like the great prophets, the great people that have come here. And this is not the translation, but you know, if you think about think of all the good people that you can think of, bestow us the path of those people. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. That's the seventh line, and not the path of those on whom, who earned your wrath or who earned your displeasure. And you can think about all of the horrendous and atrocious things that happen in the name of many things, and sometimes even in the name of God, on this plane, and I'm sure on other planes. And we don't want to be the people that at the end deserve God's displeasure. So with that said, those are the first seven verses in the Quran. And to me, you know, when I think about it, even the beginning verse, it says, I'll end on this note, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, which roughly translated means all praise belongs to God, the Lord of the Alameen is actually, Alam would be world, which is singular, but Alameen is worlds, which is multiple, which is plural. And all praise does belong to God, in my opinion, the Lord of the world.
Well, I like that. And that's something I didn't know about the Quran. In fact, I learned two, you know, things tonight. One is you can have a show without an engineer.
Yeah, we don't need the engineer.
Of course, we don't know how we're going to stop this on time, because I don't have a magic button that says, okay, you're off the air. And the other thing, of course, is that a lot of times when I hear music or prayers from Islam, I never realized, because I never really paid that much attention, that it's a rhyming, you know, it's all one big piece of poetry. And it's kind of neat. I like it. That couple verses that you just read tonight is very similar to the beginning of our Bible, Genesis, where, you know, it speaks of God creating the earth and all the inhabitants thereof, and the story of Adam, which is pretty similar to your story of Adam.
and the key is to try to procure God's guidance and the guidance that can guide us away from our own technical issues and into clarity, hopefully.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that the description of Satan or the power of negativity or whatever you want to refer to him as is not that different, is it? We kind of see him in the same jest as his mission is the same, and that's to take as many believers down as he can, and so on and so forth. So I had fun tonight, and maybe God expected or wanted this to happen. I have to believe it. And for those of you who are listening, we didn't fall apart.
We'll still try to come back and better it on the next show, God willing.
Well, yeah, and the next show, I really do hope that we have the two people you mentioned who I have been just totally enthralled with, and that those of you who are listening out there who have stuck with us through this show, start calling in and asking questions. For 2 years, I've been begging you to call in. And, I just think it would help us help you if you could call us and say, Wasif, I really want to learn more about fill in the blank. We can go from there. We plan these programs based on what we think you want to hear or do. And it'd be nice to hear from some of you that maybe what we're thinking is not quite right. So it is 9 o'clock, and Mr. Engineer, are we signing off, or are we going on?
Maybe
night?
The autopilot will continue on, hopefully without.
What was the name of that HAL? HAL was the name of the computer.
Skynet.
I think HAL has taken over.
HAL. Oh, this must be another movie. Yeah, but I'm signing off, Judy. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. Thank you, Wasif. And I will definitely be talking to you in the interim.
Okay, peace.
Peace to you. And Mr. Engineer, can we wrap it up? We'll see. I want my music played, though, because everybody's used to hearing that little song that I created on GarageBand. Sat one night and just put chords together, and I liked the way it sounded, so I used it for the show. And next show, we are going to have some guests, and I think that you will enjoy the people that we've been talking about tonight. They are filled with spirit and wisdom. And Jen, if you're listening, I'm sorry. You get to have a double ticket next week. I'm not going to be on next week. I'm going to start it off, and then I'm going and sitting in my lazy boy and letting you guys take it. So there. Okay, Mr. Engineer. Let's take this show and close her out.
seek the Lord in times of trouble, for I know this pain shall pass. I will see my King someday. These fears won't last. My fear
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasen.